Hello, brothers and sisters, and welcome once again to Food for the Journey. And you know I do pray it is food. I know I've said that to you a million times, but I do, because I want you fed with the living word, the word that changes our lives, if we're willing to be open to it, how God can touch us and lead us. Let's take a look at this first reading for today. It's a letter of St. Paul to the Colossians. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the holy ones and faithful brothers and sisters in Christ in Colossae, grace to you and peace from God our Father. We always give thanks to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you. For we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love that you have for all the holy ones because of the hope reserved for you in heaven. Are you one of those holy ones? Do you follow him? Do you seek to do his will? Of this you have already heard through the word of truth, the gospel that has come to you. Just as in the whole world it is bearing fruit and growing, so also among you. From the day you heard it and came to know the grace of God in truth, as you learned it from Epaphras, our beloved fellow slave, who is a trustworthy minister of Christ on your behalf, and who also told us of your love in the Spirit. Brothers and sisters, Paul so wants us to come to know Christ that he might lead us home to heaven. This is not the real world in one sense. It's not the final world. Heaven, purgatory, or hell. Brothers and sisters, what do we want? I pray for heaven, but I think I'll probably be in purgatory a little bit, maybe. Who knows? But I know that my God loves me. And I know that he wants me to be drawn closer and closer to him. And he wants the same for you. Whatever your state in life, he loves you. And he wants to draw you closer to him. Please know that. Even if you're a very, very busy mother with small children, even if you're a man who has to work very hard to support his family, God wants to help you in all of that. Dedicate your days to God and then say, Lord, help me to get through this. Help me, show me the way to do this. God hears you. Ask him for help. You might be surprised sometime. Psalm 52 says, I trust in the mercy of God forever. I, like a green olive tree in the house of God, trust in the mercy of God forever and ever. I will thank you always for what you have done and proclaim the goodness of your name before your faithful ones. I trust in the mercy of God forever. No, I honestly often say that after I go to the Sacrament of Reconciliation. Just say to the Lord, I trust in the mercy of God forever. Please don't be afraid to go to confession. Please don't. He loves you. He wants to meet you there. He wants to once again inhabit you, live in you as repentance for your sin. Please, Lord. Please, Lord, help me to be sorry for what I've done. I know it displeases you, and I don't want to. Just say that to the Lord and go to confession. You'll be set free. That's a great gift from God, you know, the Sacrament of Reconciliation. How would we be if we had all these sins and carried them all our lives? My goodness. We wouldn't be what God wants us to be. So please go to confession if you need to and trust in him and in his love for you. After Jesus left the synagogue, this is Luke 4, verses 38 to 44. After Jesus left the synagogue, he entered the house of Simon. Now notice this. Simon's mother-in-law was afflicted with a severe fever, and they interceded with him about her. She was very, very sick. He stood over her, rebuked the fever, and it left her. She got up immediately and waited on them. Brothers and sisters, if you've been very sick, God heals you. It takes a few moments from being so sick to suddenly you're better, you're better. And look what she did. She was just so happy. At sunset, all who had people sick with various diseases brought them to him. He laid his hands on each of them and cured them, and demons also came out from many, shouting, "You are the Son of God." But he rebuked them and did not allow them to speak, because they knew he was the Christ. At daybreak, Jesus left and went to a deserted place, and the crowds were looking for him. And when they came to him, they tried to prevent him from leaving them. But he said to them, "To the other towns also, I must proclaim the good news of the kingdom of God, because for this purpose I have been sent." And he was preaching in the synagogues of Judea. Brothers and sisters, God helped so many people. And we say, well, why doesn't he help me? Have you turned to him? Have you confessed your sins? Have you turned to your Father in heaven? Have you asked him, "Please, God, will you help me?" Simple. "Please, God, will you help me?" Wait on him. It might be the next day. It might be that the day you're on right now. But God loves you, and he hears your prayers. He hears your cries. But ask him if there's something you need to learn out of this sickness. Ask him to do that first. What do I need to do differently? And then ask him to heal you. You'll pick up something you haven't read before. You'll pick up a conversation that you say, "Oh my goodness, I never thought of that." Just so many ways that God will intercede. I don't necessarily mean that his voice from heaven is going to speak to you through Jesus. It's happened, but it doesn't usually happen that way. It happens by circumstance. What do I need to be doing day to day? Just saying to the Lord, "Help me, lead me, be my Lord. I want you Lord of my life. I ask you to be the Lord of my life." We need to turn ourselves to the right way, to be in a place where God can bless us and give us grace and help. Please, brothers and sisters, don't turn away from that. Don't turn away. We want to be people who trust in the mercy of God forever. You'll be amazed at how God does show you mercy. I want to read for you a section of the gospel readings today where Mary Healy, who's a professor of sacred scripture and a member of the Pontifical Biblical Commission, she said this: "The cleansing of the leper near the beginning of Jesus' public ministry presaged the prominent role healings would play in his mission. The human person is an inseparable unity of body and soul. Christ came not just to save souls, but to save human beings, to raise us up, body and soul, to the fullness of divine life in communion with God and all the redeemed forever. The body, therefore, has inestimable significance in God's plan. will one day be radiant with divine life. Jesus' healings of bodily sickness and infirmity are a foreshadowing of the glorious destiny of the human body. 21% of the gospel accounts of Jesus' public ministry is devoted to reports of his physical healings and exorcisms, a striking percentage when one considers the length and importance of his teachings, not to mention other miracles, such as the multiplication of the loaves and the calming of the storm. Clearly, Jesus' healings are not a minor element or peripheral to his real purpose. Jesus' healings are inseparable from his preaching of the kingdom of God. He began his public ministry by announcing the arrival of the kingdom. Then he demonstrated by his healings and miracles. In Jesus' very presence, in his words and deeds, the reign of God has been inaugurated on earth. The dominion of Satan has been broken, and the restoration of all creation has begun. It's not over, it's begun. The miracles are the embodiment of the good news itself, that he is the long-awaited Messiah who has come to overthrow every kind of evil and restore God's people to the fullness of life. It's an outstanding summary that Dr. Mary Healy has done for us. And brothers and sisters, I just want to say to you, God has done everything he can for us. He's called out to us in every way he can. Sometimes we're deaf. Sometimes we're blind to him. Brothers and sisters, open your ears, not to hear a voice from heaven, but to hear something that God wants you to hear. Read the good books, read the stories of the Gospels, read about the Gospels, read all of them, because God is showing you who he is in them, and he desires with all his heart to help you. But if you don't read, you don't listen, brothers and sisters, what are you going to receive? God wants to open your heart and mind to God and let him draw us closer to himself in whatever way he chooses. It might be silent. Some things, you might pick up something to read and you say, oh, I never thought of that before. Pay attention to it. All that kind of thing. Brothers and sisters, just ask God, speak to me, Lord. I need your help. I need your courage. He may do it, as I've said to you before, through other people. That's often the way he does it. Or radio. Or TV even. A magazine. He will get through to you that he loves you. And he wants you with him forever. God bless you.
For a free copy of my booklet, Hope in the Midst of Suffering, please call our toll-free number 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to our website, renewalministries.net/FFJ. That's renewalministries.net/FFJ.